The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Saturday, October 31st, and today on this Halloween, we are talking about conspiracy theories. We cover everything from the roles of both the pandemic and politics to who tends to be most vulnerable to these theories and why. We also discuss whether or not these conspiracy theories are actually a threat to our society. Our guest expert today is Shauna Bowes. She's a research psychologist at Emory University who led the team studying the most comprehensive analysis to date of people who are prone to conspiracy beliefs. So here is our conversation. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Shauna, thank you so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So there have been a lot of conspiracy theories that we've heard about that seem to be gaining traction this year, such as QAnon, Wayfairgate, some debunked theories about COVID-19, et cetera. Is this unusual or unique to 2020, or have conspiracy theories always been part of our society?
Conspiracy theories have definitely always been a part of our society. I know one paper, I believe it came out in 2014, looked kind of historically at conspiracy narratives, and there wasn't even a lot of evidence that they were increasing over time. I think how quickly they spread has certainly changed, but they've just been a part of the fabric of our nation and the globe for a very long time.
Do you think the pandemic has played a role in conspiracy theories or how quickly they spread?
Yes, I definitely think the pandemic has played a huge role. And in fact, looking at history, conspiracy theories tend to arise in situations of immense uncertainty, often, you know, with devastation or negative emotions attached to it. So conspiracy theories tied to global health crises, that has happened in the past, and it certainly makes sense that it's happening now.
Right. So tell us more about how these types of theories begin and how long it typically takes, or what we've seen in 2020, for one to take off.
I think these typically start on a small scale and kind of grow from there. But I think when something huge happens that changes our globe or changes our society, something like 9/11 or a global health crisis, the official explanations usually are unsatisfying. There's something called the proportionality bias, where we tend to believe that big events must have big causes. So something random or something small is just not satisfying. So when we're faced with that dissatisfaction, a lot of people turn to a conspiracy narrative like, oh, that makes so much more sense because it has to be this elaborate big cause. And in terms of how quickly it spreads, I'm not sure if we have a great handle on that, but with COVID-19 conspiracies, I believe one study found that like one Facebook post, one kind of hashtag trend, the film your hospital trend, that one post was massively influential and spread like wildfire. So I think they're taking on a new life rather quickly in society today.
Yeah, that's a great point about social media, and the internet has probably changed the speed at which conspiracy theories can spread.
Definitely. It's not just word of mouth anymore. But, you know, if you have a Twitter account that has even a couple hundred followers and you share something, you've already reached a couple hundred people in an instant.
So you talked about trying to find a reasoning when the official explanation is uncertain or not satisfying. Let's talk more about that why. Tell us more about the appeal of believing these theories.
Yeah, I think it's kind of counterintuitive when you think about it. Like, why would people turn to something that implies that people were plotting with nefarious intent behind closed doors? Like, how could that possibly be more comforting than the official explanation? And I think one piece that's comforting is it almost gives you a little more control. So official explanations, you know, they tend to suggest that things can happen randomly. You know, 9/11 was planned and actually was the result of a conspiracy, but it was, you know, from a threat that we couldn't really see or that we didn't know was coming. If it was our government that planned it, well, maybe we can plan something to be, you know, more watchful of the government or more vigilant, or something like COVID. If it's, you know, 5G cell phone towers, let's knock them down. Whereas if it just started, you know, randomly from a mutation in China, like a genetic mutation or a viral mutation, like how scary and unpredictable is that? So I think there's an element of control and safety and predictability where you can kind of flip the narrative and maybe do something about it.
Still ahead, we talk about who might be most vulnerable to believing conspiracy theories, how social aspects and politics play a role, how to talk to loved ones that might believe these theories, and whether there's a real threat to society. But first, let's take a moment to thank our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Monk Pack. Healthy snacks can have a bad reputation because a lot of them, let's be honest, don't taste very good. But Monk Pack has found a way to make snacks that taste amazing and have close to no sugar. That's right. Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars contain less than a gram of sugar, 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, and they're only 150 calories. They're my new go-to. They really have this perfect balance of sweet and salty, a crunch from whole nuts and seeds, and yet they still manage to be soft and chewy. Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars come in delicious flavors like pecan almond, sea salt dark chocolate, and my favorite so far, peanut butter dark chocolate. So try it for yourself and you will see. We have a special deal for our listeners as well. You can get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering the code NEWSWORTHY at checkout. To get started, go to monkpack.com. That's MUNKPACK, monkpack.com, and select any product, then enter the code NEWSWORTHY at checkout to save 20% off your purchase. Monk Pack, good food you can count on. All right, now back to my conversation with research psychologist Shauna Bose. And who's most vulnerable to believing these types of theories? Is there a pattern?
There is a bit of a pattern. It's complex. It's not a straightforward pattern necessarily to interpret. But in our study, at least, what we found is more kind of pathological traits in the personality space and the psychopathology space tend to predict endorsing conspiracy beliefs. So a tendency to, you know, experience negative emotions, to be self-certain, to maybe even have bizarre experiences. These might all come together in one person or across people to make you more likely to endorse conspiracy beliefs and have them feel satisfying to you.
Is there anything to do with kind of the community of believers?
Yes, I think so. That's something that we didn't really look at in our study. We looked at, you know, individual level factors, but I think your social environment plays a huge role. And you asked earlier, what conspiracy beliefs tend to be successful? And I think the social element plays into that. Usually conspiracy beliefs that are successful are those that target an outgroup. We are all Americans and identify as Americans. Maybe the conspiracy beliefs that tend to be successful are those that blame everyone but Americans for a problem or something like that. And we can find that on so many different levels of analysis. And the social group, if maybe I'm a little socially isolated and detached and no one understands me, and I find these people that believe the same things that I do, wow, that's great. And you might kind of feel more certain that your conspiracy belief is correct because your friends that understand you also believe it.
And do politics play a role? Because in the political environment, it sometimes feels like we're on teams or communities based on our political beliefs. Does that play a role in conspiracy theories?
It does play a role. Again, I think that the picture is fuzzy and complicated, but there is that element of tribalism in American politics today, where it's not just what I believe, but this is my tribe and I, you know, really strongly connect with it, and I kind of disparage potentially those who are not in my tribe. And there is some evidence that conservatives and liberals might endorse conspiracy beliefs at similar levels, but they endorse totally different conspiracy beliefs. And there also is some evidence that potentially conservatives do endorse conspiracy theories more, but it's mixed. And I think the most compelling evidence is that conspiracy theories are higher in the political group that isn't in power. There is some evidence to suggest that.
And so why is it when these theories are disproven that they still don't go away?
Yeah, conspiracy beliefs are really hard to move around. And I think one of the biggest reasons is because they're almost, you can't falsify them in many ways. You can't actually come up with all of the evidence to disprove it. And all of the evidence can be flipped in many ways. Like, you know, say the FBI disproved it. Well, if you, you know, endorse conspiracy beliefs, you might not trust the FBI as a source, and you might be able to turn it around and say, look, they care so much about our beliefs. They know that we're right, and they're trying so hard to discredit us. So it almost might make you believe it more because you see them working to disprove you.
And on the flip side, there are some things that may sound like conspiracy theories, but we have officials like the U.S. intelligence officials saying that Russia has actually tried to influence American elections. Do those types of truths play a role in conspiracy theories?
They do. You know, conspiracy theories don't exist in a vacuum. Like, there are events that actually happen as the result of conspiracies. Like 9/11 is an example. It wasn't an American conspiracy, but it was, you know, a result of terrorism. Or you look at things like Tuskegee experiments or the Iran-Contra scandal, like Watergate, right? Conspiracies do happen. And these truths that suggest conspiracies are real can fuel the fire in many ways, but also maybe could give people a view that the reality is sometimes hard and maybe I do need to accept it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, how should people go about differentiating?
This is a huge topic right now. I think that's incredibly important. We're in, you know, a fake news era, and I think people don't know what to turn to and don't know what to trust. And I think I don't have, by any stretch of the imagination, a perfect solution. I don't think any scientist really does at this point. But typically, the more we can aggregate information, the better. So if there are many sources kind of reporting the same information and citing trustworthy authorities, maybe it's more likely that it's true. And I think where it gets complicated is different political groups, different people, different any kind of group are going to have different trusted figures. So maybe it's coming from an objectively trustworthy source, but if it's left-leaning, that might not be compelling to the right, for instance. So that's why it's so hard to move around.
And what's the real threat here? I mean, could these debunked conspiracy theories have a negative impact on our society?
Yes, they do have a negative impact in many ways. Even just looking at like the 5G conspiracy theories, people actually did go and burn down cell phone towers, which you think maybe that's not a huge deal, but that could hurt a lot of people. It could spread quickly. The fires could go out of control. Conspiracy beliefs are endorsed with violence or accepting violence or thinking that you can use violence to promote what you believe to be true. Thinking about QAnon, Edgar Welch, he went into a pizza establishment with an assault rifle, right? He genuinely thought that, you know, Hillary Clinton and Obama were there running a child sex trafficking ring, and he thought it was okay to go into an establishment with an assault rifle. So these beliefs can have real life dangerous consequences, for sure.
And finally, how do you recommend people talk to loved ones who are deep in believing certain conspiracy theories?
I think as hard as it is in the moment to back out of the arguing space, I think the arguing space or the arguing mindset reinforces conspiracy beliefs in many ways. Again, going back to that idea of like, ah, see, I'm right, and they care so much, and they're arguing against me. I think, again, as hard as it is to take an empathic and validating approach to try to hear where they're coming from and hear, oh, maybe this person's really scared or maybe this person's really uncertain and that's why they're turning to this. And what can I relate to them on? And if we can come maybe from that stance more and be able to empathically provide our perspective, evidence, and information, perhaps we might get some more movement. But I think a lot of acceptance might have to come into play as well, that one individual might not be able to change another individual's mind.
And you can learn more about our guest in today's episode notes on thenewsworthy.com. And as always, we'll keep you updated on all the day's news in about 10 minutes during our regular episodes Monday through Friday. Thanks again for joining us today. I'll be back on Monday with our next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend and happy Halloween.